Here we are. We are hungry for the word. Turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 11. And today we're going to continue our series of messages on the book of Revelation. And today I'm going to call this message War in Heaven. War in Heaven. And you will see exactly what I'm talking about here in just a few moments. Of course, we are deep within the book of Revelation now. Time does not permit me to go back and review everything that we've said. We're all the way now into the 11th chapter. We've covered a lot of material, but I just want to give a brief overview of what we've talked about. Of course, now we have come through the seven seal judgments, and now we have come through the first six of the seven trumpet judgments. And remember, the book of Revelation is structured. There are three sets of seven judgments. You have the seven seals, you have the seven trumpets, and the seven vial judgments. Vial is V-I-A-L, referring to a container that something could be poured out with, all right? And we know this, that these three sets of judgments, they're structured in this way, where the first six will be opened or sounded or whatever, and then there will be a pause, and then the seventh. For example, we saw with the six seals, we saw the first six were opened, and then there was a pause, and then the seventh seal. Now we saw that there was the first six trumpets were sounded, and then there was a pause, and then today we're going to look at the seventh trumpet. And then the same will be true throughout the vial judgments as well. We looked at the seven seals, and we saw the first seal was opened, and a white horse came out, and its rider is the Antichrist. He's on a white horse because he establishes a false peace. It's the first thing that he does in the tribulation period. Remember, these are end time events. These are things that have not occurred yet, but they are casting their shadow over our land right now. And of course, John the Apostle is writing the book of Revelation. Jesus Christ himself is dictating these things to him so he could share it with the rest of the world. And the first seal was opened, the Antichrist comes out and establishes a false peace. The second seal was opened and a red horse appeared, meaning that this imagery represented something. And that red horse represented war, and the one that sat upon it was given power to take peace from the earth. And we saw this, that war will be very drastic, to the degree that one quarter of all the earth's population will be wiped out in a matter of a short time. And if that happened today, that would be about 2 billion people. That means that war will be 20 times larger than World War II, which is the largest conflict this world has ever seen up until this point. The third seal was opened, and a black horse rode out, and his rider had a set of scales in his hand. And a voice from the midst of the four beasts and among the throne, a voice said, "A measure of wheat for a penny, or three measures of barley for a penny, but hurt not the oil and the wine." And we saw the word penny. It's not referring to the American penny or a cheap form of currency. The word penny there is the word pence, which means a full day's wage. So literally, as that black horse rides out, its rider says, "A measure of wheat for a day's wage." Or you could say it this way, it will cost a full day's wage to afford one loaf of bread. That is the result of a massive war. That is economic famine. That black horse represents that famine. And that those days will be defined by hyperinflation. We know that those shadows are casting themselves across the globe right now, unlike ever before. And so those are just the shadows of things to come. And then we saw the fourth seal was opened, and the pale horse came out, and he represented death. And then the fifth seal was opened, and it showed all the altars that were under the, all the souls that were under the altar of God, which is in heaven. And those souls were all the martyrs or the people that were killed for their faithfulness for Jesus Christ. And also in the Old Testament, when they were martyred for their faithfulness in God. And we saw that they were crying out for God to avenge them. And the Lord promised them that he would. And then the sixth seal was opened and a great earthquake hit the earth. So much to the point that it could literally shift every mountain and every island out of its place. And then after the sixth seal, there was the pause. And that pause gave room for the 144,000 Jews to go out into the world and tell the world to repent, to turn from God, to reject the mark of the beast, do whatever it takes to honor God. And many people will allow themselves to be killed. They will starve to death. They will do whatever it takes to stay faithful to God. And a great multitude are brought into heaven during that tribulation period as a result of the 144,000 Jewish evangelists. And so after that pause, we then saw the seventh seal. And when the seventh seal was opened, it just revealed seven angels that each held a trumpet. And when they sounded those trumpets, another judgment came upon the earth. The first trumpet sounded, and it began what is known as the one-third judgments. The first four trumpets are called the one-third judgments because every time a trumpet sounds, one-third of something on the earth gets destroyed. When the first trumpet sounded, one-third of all the trees and the grass were destroyed. When the second trumpet sounded, one-third of the oceans turned to blood, one-third of all sea creatures died, and one-third of all the ships were destroyed. When the third trumpet blew, a meteor by the name of Wormwood makes contact with the earth and destroys one-third of all freshwater sources on the globe. If it doesn't destroy them, it then turns them bitter or poisonous, and people will die for trying to drink that fresh water, of course, which will be a very valuable resource during the tribulation. And then the fourth trumpet sounded, and one-third of all the light from the sun, moon, and stars is all darkened out. And then the trumpets 5 through 7 are called the three woes, the W-O-E-S, right? The three woes. And when the fifth trumpet is sounded, the bottomless pit is open. And the Bible describes demonic forces coming out of the bottomless pit, and they go out and they vex the bodies of people on the earth, and they hurt their bodies. And they're led by this fallen angel by the name of Abaddon. And then the sixth trumpet sounds, and the Euphrates riverbed dries up to make room for the army of the East that is a 200 million man army. There's only one nation in the world right now that has a reserve army of 200 million men. That is the nation of China. We know that the United States right now, if we had to call a reserve army, we might be able to muster up 10 or 15 million. China can call up 200 million. And the Bible says in the future, China will march through that Euphrates River Valley and creating great war as they go. And as they do, one-third of the remaining population of the earth is destroyed, or another 2 billion people. Literally, China will instigate a nuclear war in the future. We see it casting its shadow. The Bible prophesied these things thousands of years ago, and we're living in the days and the times when we see these things coming to pass. Now you say, well, Pastor, you know, 200 million man army, okay. Well, what's the significance of that? Think of this for just a second. At the time that the book of Revelation was written in the first century, when John the Apostle was putting these things to paper, the known population of the whole earth was under 400 million. The whole known population of the earth. And so when he wrote down an army of 200 million, that would be like us writing down an army of 5 billion. It was such a huge percentage of the world's population. He probably almost felt foolish to write it down because that number was so big, it was unimaginable. And now the days are here when there is a 200 million man army in the East who is causing all sorts of problems on the globe. And so these things are coming to pass. And so after the sixth trumpet, we have a pause. And last week we looked at the pause. We saw where John was commanded to measure the temple that is in Jerusalem. But what do you know about the temple that is in Jerusalem right now? There isn't one. And so we know that there must be a third temple built on the Temple Mount there in Jerusalem on the site called Mount Moriah. Right now, there is an Islamic mosque called the Dome of the Rock that sits there. We know that right next to that, right adjacent to that, is the Holy Jewish Temple site. And there's coming a day when a temple will be rebuilt. If you don't believe me, go to templeinstitute.org, read about the plans. It is ready to go. All these things are designed. The Jews are about ready to reestablish temple worship. It's happening in the days that you and I live in. So I've had so many Christians over the years, they've said, boy, wouldn't it be just awesome to live in Bible times? You do live in Bible times. More so than ever before, these things are happening right before our eyes. And so then we saw after the temple was measured, John beheld two witnesses. God brings back the two greatest prophets in all of Israel's history to stand in Jerusalem for nearly 3.5 years and prophesy to the world. And the world hears their message, and the world hates them and wants them dead, much like the world hates Christians right now. And if they could have their way, there's many people in our own government, if they could erase Christianity out of America, they would do it. How do you know? Because they're trying to do it right now. I mean, all of a sudden, our government is more sympathetic to satanic clubs than they are Christian clubs for schools or whatnot. And so we see that those days are upon us, you know, right now. And we see these two witnesses prophesy in Jerusalem. The Antichrist finally rises up and manages to kill these two prophets. Remember, these prophets are clothed in sackcloth. They're clothed like Old Testament prophets because that's exactly who they are. The first of these two witnesses is Elijah, who is prophesied, who must come before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second of these prophets is Moses, and they stand in Jerusalem and they prophesy, and people hate them. And finally, the Antichrist manages to kill them, and it sends a world that is in complete chaos and death and darkness. They start to throw a party because these two prophets are dead. And they drag them into the streets of Jerusalem, and they let them lie dead in the streets for 3.5 days. But at the end of those 3.5 days, what happens? We saw last week that the spirit of life from God enters into Elijah, enters into Moses, and they stand back up on their feet, and the whole world is again filled with dread as they realize that you cannot beat God. Even when you think you kill the people of God, you cannot kill eternal life. Your body might die on this earth, but let me tell you, you are eternal. There is no killing you. There is no killing me. There's no killing the message. No matter how much the people of this earth try to rewrite the word of God, there's never going to be anything that stops it. You cannot rewrite the definition of marriage. You cannot rewrite the definition of gender. Because God said, I made them male and female. There is no binary. There is no transgender. There is nothing in between. It is male and female. And no matter how much our society tries to write and rewrite that, no matter how much the devil tries to denigrate human beings and turn them into animals, we are not animals. We are created in the image of Almighty God. Praise the Lord. And there is coming a day, and we're going to look at it today, when God will set all of this straight. And believe me, if somebody's living in that lifestyle, if somebody's caught in that lifestyle, the good news is that God's grace and mercy is still open. The age of grace is still here. They can come to the Lord. They can repent of their sin. They can turn from that lifestyle. They can call on Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And the power of God will absolutely transform their life, will restore them and redeem them from that hideous lifestyle. And believe me, there's a lot of hideous lifestyles. Addictions to drugs and alcohol, that's a hideous lifestyle that God can deliver you from. And when I say hideous, I don't mean that personally about the person. I just mean that form, that decision, is something that God can deliver you from. I'm telling you, if you need alcohol to enjoy this life, you're not living close enough to God. Because I'm here to tell you that the joy of God is greater than anything that alcohol or drugs would ever get, you know, give you. And so we see that these two witnesses are then caught up, and the whole world, the Bible says, all the enemies of God stand there and they watch as Elijah and Moses are taken back up. And it says great dread comes upon them. They know they can't win. They know they've joined the wrong side. There is no way that you can defeat God. And so now today we pick it up with the seventh trumpet and go to Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. Are you ready today? Here we go. And so that's kind of a synopsis to where we are at this point in the book of Revelation. Verse 15 says, and the seventh angel sounded his trumpet. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. This is a very important verse. Verse 15 is very important because this is a future time. Remember, in chapter 5, when Jesus took that scroll out of the right hand of the Father, that scroll was the title deed of the earth. That was Jesus saying, it's time to take back the earth. It's time to take the nations back and bring them back to God. And now we see deep within these judgments, all of a sudden there's an announcement made in heaven. And it says, the kingdoms of this world have now become the kingdoms of the Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So if the kingdoms of God will become, or the kingdoms of the world, they will become God's at a future time, what does that mean about the kingdoms of the world right now? It means that the kingdoms of the world right now do not belong to God. Do you know that and understand that? You've heard me say this several times. One of the biggest and greatest misconceptions of all Christianity is that they think God is running and controlling earth right now. Do you understand that he is absolutely not running and controlling the earth right now? Do you know that? You know, Jesus called Satan the prince of this world. Paul called him the god of this world that blinds the minds that believe people that believe not, right? He called him the prince of the power of the air. Satan even tempted Jesus. He showed him all the nations of the world and all the glory of the nations. And Satan said, all this that you see has been delivered unto me. He says, in whom I will give it if they will worship me. You wonder why the kingdoms of this world are in such a mess? God isn't doing that. God isn't running or controlling the nations. We know that the leaders of the nations right now are unfortunately under the control of Satan. Just look at how this world is being run. Why so many people are dying, being killed, murdered, crime, famine, disease, all this stuff. That's not God's hand doing that. There's coming a day when God is saying, I will take the kingdoms back. So when you see all this corruption in our government, when you see all this evil in the world, don't be discouraged because God is saying, there's coming a time I'm taking the kingdoms of the world back and I'm gonna set it all straight. And that is what the book of Revelation is about. Folks, we are waiting and believing for the day and the times when God comes back and reestablishes his kingdom on the earth. You remember the Lord's Prayer. Pray that his kingdom come, his will be done. His what? His kingdom come. Because right now, until that day, his kingdom is not on this earth in a full measure. His kingdom is only here through the church. God only controls those that are under his authority, those that are born again in this age. If you're wondering why these people make policies in our government the way they do, it's because they're not controlled by God, all right? God establishes an authority structure, but the people and their decisions are controlled by the enemy. But when that seventh angel sounds, there comes an announcement in heaven, the kingdoms of this world have now become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Can you wait for that day? He's gonna set it all straight. He is going to leave no wiggle room. You know, he is going to have it his way. It is gonna be his word. He will be established. He will reign forever and ever. Verse 16, and he says this, and the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats, they fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which are and was and is to come, because you have taken to you great power and has reigned. See, this is what they're celebrating. God's now taken it back. It was the world, the kingdoms of this world have been on loan to Satan. They were delivered to Satan, not by God. Who delivered the kingdoms of the earth to the devil? Adam did. Adam and Eve, when they sinned in that garden, they handed that reign over to Satan. And God put a plan. He put a plan in motion to redeem us with the blood of Jesus, to take back the kingdoms. And now we see that those days are drawing very, very close. And so they're celebrating, God, you have now taken full reign. here you come. You're going to take these kingdoms back. And the nations were angry. And I would say this, the nations are angry right now. Sure. The nations are angry at God. They hate God. They're passing policies that are against God. The nations were angry, and thy wrath has come, and the time of the dead. Now remember, this is still this announcement with the seventh trumpet. And the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should give reward unto your servants, the prophets, and to the saints, that means believers, and them that fear your name, small and great, and God should destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Now John is hearing this announcement that is being delivered through the seventh trumpet, and all of a sudden he sees in heaven, and he sees the temple in heaven opened. Now remember, this is the temple in heaven, not the temple that will be in Jerusalem. Are you here today? What does John see? He looks in there and he sees the Ark of his covenant in there. And this is not the Ark of the Covenant that Indiana Jones was chasing, right? This is the one in heaven. Remember, what Moses was instructed to build was a carbon copy of what God truly has in heaven. Do you know there's an Ark of the Covenant right now in heaven? And on top of that box, that golden box, there is something called the what? The mercy seat. And when John looks in and he sees that Ark of the Covenant, he would see the mercy seat. And what was placed upon the mercy seat to represent us for all of eternity? What is on the top of that mercy seat? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. John would look in there and he would see that mercy seat covered with the blood of Christ that will stand forever for the redeemed and the restored. Aren't you glad? That's where you're sitting. That's where you're represented. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, if you don't get excited about being washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and man, there's something wrong with you. We are washed. We are there. God has set that apart for our redemption. And John now is in heaven, and he gets to see into the holy of holies of heaven, and he sees that mercy seat covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God. Now, remember, we're going to go to chapter 12 here, but remember, the divisions between the chapters were not originally in the Bible, meaning people added those later just to help us find, you know, where the scriptures were at and so on. But chapter 12, notice the first word of chapter 12 in verse 1. It says, and. So he's still just talking about seeing in heaven. Remember, he's still in heaven witnessing these things. He heard that trumpet in heaven. He saw the temple of God in heaven. He heard this announcement in heaven. And now he's still in heaven. And John says, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. So he looks into heaven. He sees the temple. He sees the Ark of the Covenant. And then he sees Wonder Woman standing there. Just amazing, right? Are you with me here today? Anything to wake you up, right? No, it's not the comic book Wonder Woman, right? He sees a wonder or a mystery, and it's this woman who appears to be clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, no doubt your first question is, who is this woman? Well, you're going to find out here shortly. Let's keep reading. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And this dragon's tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. That means that's a reference to the angels. And did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood in front of the woman which was ready to be delivered or to give birth, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days, or roughly 3.5 years, which is the second half of the tribulation period. And now verse 7, and this is why I call this message this today. And there was war in heaven. Now you're probably wondering, who is this dragon? I think you know who the dragon is. It's going to tell us here in just a couple of verses. Who do you think that dragon is, everybody? It's Satan. It is the devil, and you're absolutely right. Now, who do you think the child is that comes from this woman that will rule all nations with a rod of iron? That is Jesus Christ. Now you say, well, who's the woman? People think, well, that's got to be Mary. That's God. Is that the mother Mary? No, that is not Mary that you're seeing there. You're going to find out in just a moment. Verse 7 again, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought with his angels and prevailed not. The devil cannot win. He will not win. Why does he even try to win? He knows he's going to lose. He says, the devil and his angels prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in where? In heaven. Now remember, he's called the dragon here still. This is not Lucifer. Lucifer was the name of Satan before he fell. Notice in this passage, this is not Lucifer. This is the dragon. Go to the next verse. It tells us who it is. And the great dragon was cast out. Cast out of where? Out of heaven. Where is he seeing all this? In heaven. That great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now remember, folks, this is a future event that has not taken place yet. And I'm going to share something with you that will really shock and awe a lot of believers. All right? When we know what we know about Satan right now is that he has a dominion and a throne on this earth, the Bible tells us. All right, you can look that up. It tells us in many different places that Satan rules on this earth. But notice, where else can the devil go at this present time? He can go into heaven. Do you know that? Do you know the Bible says that the devil can go into heaven, and there's something that he does there, and the Bible's about to tell us? And this is a future time when all of a sudden all access to heaven will be removed from Satan and his possibilities, right? And we know that day is coming. Let's keep on reading. Verse 10, it says, and I heard a loud voice saying, in heaven. Everyone say, in heaven. Oh boy. Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, because the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused the brethren in front of God day and night. What is the devil doing every day right now? He's accusing the brethren. Do we have any brethren and sister in here today? So you know what the devil is actively up to? He goes before God and accuses us of our faults, our failures, and our sins. If you've ever wondered where that guilt and shame comes from, it does not come from God. It comes from the accuser of the brethren. And he goes before God, and there's coming a time when God says, no more. So even if we make, mistakes, even if we have faults and failures, even if we sincerely miss it and sin before God, how many of you know we've got 1 John 2:1? It says, my little children, I write these things unto you that you sin not. But if any of you sin, we have a what? An advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. If you sincerely miss it, and of course, we have to repent of our sins. Folks, don't ever believe this idea that as a believer, you don't have to repent from your sins. That is a lie. And when the devil comes up and tries to say, look what they did, look what they said, Jesus, your advocate, steps forward and says, my blood has washed them from that. I've already paid the price for that sin. My blood is on that mercy seat right over there. You cannot blame them. You cannot put guilt and shame upon them. Folks, live a guilt-free life. It is what Jesus advocates for you for. Amen. Glory to God. But there's war in heaven. Now, do not confuse this with, you know, the time in the past. Satan was kicked out of heaven one other time before. Jesus talked about it over there in Luke 10:18. He said, I beheld Satan fall from heaven like lightning to this earth. Remember that. There was a time when Satan tried to overthrow God. You can read about it in Isaiah chapter 14. You can read about it over there in Ezekiel chapter 28, when he tried to overthrow God and God said, yeah, you're not going to overthrow me. Boom. And booted his authority to this earth, where, of course, Lucifer did have authority down here and so on. And we know that that happened. But still, for this time frame, the devil has had access to go in and accuse the brethren. Remember over there in Job chapter 1? Remember how the devil came before God and accused Job? Yes. Remember that? This is the same thing that the devil is doing with us day and night, trying to accuse us of our faults and our failures. Well, folks, the best thing would be to do, make sure you don't give them anything to say, right? But if you do miss it, you have an advocate. Get under that blood. Repent of your sin. Live under the blood of Christ. Does that mean that we have an excuse to sin? No, that should just ignite our desire not to sin against God. The grace of God, the fact that his blood is on that seat as a reminder for us all the time, that makes me love him. That makes me want to do my best for him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so now the devil and the angels that rebelled against God have now fallen to the earth. And we're on verse 10. I heard a loud voice saying, in heaven now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. By the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. What does that mean? They put God first no matter what it took. They would rather die than disobey God. They loved the blood of the Lamb, right? They spoke the word of their testimony. They weren't ashamed of Jesus Christ. They weren't ashamed to be called a believer. They weren't ashamed to live right. Amen. They loved God more than they loved Facebook. They loved God more than they loved social media. They loved God more than they loved TV. They loved God more than loving sporting events. They loved God more than anything else in this life. Amen. Doesn't mean you can't have a measure of just simple entertainment in life. You understand that. But these people, they love God. They had a testimony for the blood of Christ. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth in the future tribulation period, and of the sea. For the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. And if you're wondering why demonic activity is increasing in these days, there's your answer right there. Satan's activity must increase as he knows his time is running out. That devil, he is on a very short leash. He cannot do everything he wants to do. He cannot overpower your life. You're wearing the crown of Christ. You're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You have the authority to speak over him. You overcome him with the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. What you say either removes permission from the devil or gives permission to the devil. Don't give him any permission by what you talk about. People all the time, they'll say, oh, you know, I'll probably die early because so-and-so died early. Don't say that. You know, don't talk about, you know, I'll tell you what, when we sit there and we dwell on hardships, folks, hardships come in this life. We've all been through them. But you've got to know that you're an overcomer. You're more than an overcomer. You're more than a conqueror through him that loved God, you know, who loved you through Christ. Glory to God. You know, so many times people, they talk about their failures. They talk about how they always miss it. Listen, they talk about how they're the first to get sick. They're the first to be this. They're the first to be that. You have to know and understand your testimony is the most important testimony in your life. Your words will determine where you go. Your words will determine if you get past the devil or not. Amen. Listen, you're going to get past this. You know, whatever you're facing, you're going to get beyond it. He's given you power and authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. and over all the power of the enemy. He gave you authority to cast those thoughts down in your life. He gave you authority to prosper in this earth. He made you to dominate this earth. Glory to God. Just so you know, you are different than the rest of the world. Glory to God. And now verse 13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. So he persecutes the woman. Who is the woman that is being persecuted by the devil? Let me tell you, it is not Mary. The woman that is referred to is an image and a representation of the nation of Israel. She represents the Jews. She is not an individual. She represents the nation of Israel. Jesus Christ is called the King of the Jews, right? Jesus Christ was brought forth out of Israel to rule all the nations of the world. And the devil has always been right there to try to devour up Christ and his ministry. In the days of Jesus' birth, Herod tried to order the death of all children in Judea and all that area when they were 2 years of age and younger. Satan is always trying to destroy the baby. We know that in the tribulation period, when Israel brings forth 144,000 Jewish evangelists, Satan is going to be right there to try to resist them, and he will kill them, right? He will kill them on this earth, but he can't kill them forever. He can't kill them forever. So Satan always tries to devour up that which comes out of Israel. And with every godless dictator throughout history, they all had one thing in common. They constantly persecuted the Jews. And here we see it again in the tribulation period. Folks, everything that we see in history is going to be wrapped up all in one right here in the tribulation period. And so verse 14, it goes on to say, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time. That means 3.5 years. A time, 1 year, times 2 more years, and half a time, 3.5 years. And that's what he's talking about. And they will be nourished from the face of the serpent. God is going to be faithful to the Jews in the tribulation period. God is always faithful. Have you noticed that? He's faithful to the promises he made to those Jews thousands of years ago. He's faithful to the promises that he's made to you and I right now in this day and time. Are you here today? Folks, some of you act like you just don't care. You better care. I'm trying to help you. Praise the Lord. Verse 15, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, or after Israel, that he would cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. That sounds a lot like what God did for the Israelites back in the days of Moses. Very similar. Listen, when is that devil going to realize he cannot kill which God has blessed? You can't kill. Why are the Israelites still here on this earth? When's the last time you ran into a Philistine? When's the last time you bumped into a Philistine? You haven't. Why? Because they opposed the nation of God and they lost. Everyone that has opposed God's nation has lost. You understand, you are not taking them anywhere. And verse 17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, with the remnant of Israel, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Remember, you got those 144,000 that are sealed in their forehead from the nation of Israel that are going out with God's commandments in that tribulation period. It is not an age of grace. The age of grace is closed. They're going to receive the message. People are going to be saved during the tribulation, but it's going to cost them their life. Folks, receiving Jesus right now is free. Walking in this salvation is free. It's by grace. Receive him now. Yes. Live for him now. Amen. Now, look at chapter 13, and we're going to get ready to wrap this up. Now, what happens? Now we're going to see the result of this war in heaven. The accuser of the brethren is cast down finally. He's given no more access to heaven. He's thrown down permanently to the earth. And now watch what he does. And I just want to give you a heads up. If you're wondering where we are during the tribulation period here, this is right at the midpoint. This is 3.5 years in. So up until midway point in this tribulation, you've seen war that has killed, war, famine, and disease that has killed 4 billion human beings in 3.5 years. And the last 7 plagues, which are the 7 vials, are yet to come. Now remember, we're just here at the end of the 7 trumpets. And now Satan is cast out. That 7th trumpet sounds. John sees in heaven where the accuser of the brethren is booted out. Satan falls to this earth. He's extraordinarily angry. He goes to persecute the Jews. And now go to chapter 13 in verse 1. Now look at what happens in the midpoint of this tribulation period. John says, I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Those crowns and horns, they just represent different nations, and we're going to talk about who this is. I think you know who it is. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, or Satan himself, gave this beast his power and his seat and great authority. Who is the beast of the tribulation that is given great power and authority on this earth? Antichrist. This is Antichrist. The horns, they represent the kingdoms. The crowns represent other kings that he works with and so on. I don't need to go into all that. But there will be an Antichrist figure who will stand up in the future. He will seize control of a one-world government. If you're wondering what this world's plan is and their idea, their solution for everything, they think the solution to everything is government. But the thing about government is that it makes a very poor God. Government is failing all over the world. It is failing on a national level in the United States. It is failing on a local level in the United States. It is failing around the world. And it seems like, you know, the one nation that promotes freedom and liberty, we're the last frontier. And this frontier, we're losing it. And we're losing it quickly. And your only other options are dictators, such as in Russia and China. And there's coming a day when all those governments will come into one and one person will take control. His name is Antichrist. Now look at verse 3. We learn this, what happens to this Antichrist. And now he takes great authority. He now is a complete world leader. And now we see that he is empowered by Satan himself. Remember, the Antichrist is an impersonator of Jesus Christ. Anything that Jesus is going to do, the Antichrist is going to try to accomplish it. Of course, he's going to fail. And we got to know and we've got to understand that. And it says in verse 3, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered or marveled after the beast. This is amazing. The scripture is giving us an indication that John saw into the future and saw a time when this future world leader will be shot in the head or will receive a wound in his head that will appear to bring him to death. And then we see his deadly wound is healed and all the world marveled after this Antichrist, meaning that this person will more than likely be assassinated during this time, and he will literally appear to be dead to the whole world, and then he will come back to life and have a resurrection that will impersonate Jesus's resurrection. And all the world in this chaos will look at this man and say, oh my goodness, he came back from the dead. Let's put our faith in him. Isn't that ironic? Isn't it ironic how a world will not receive Jesus Christ who came back from the dead? But one day they will receive a governmental figure who comes back from the dead. See, it goes to show you that the world has put such hope in political leaders. Just know this, they will always let you down. Thank God for government. Thank God for good people that serve in the government. But just so you know, they are not your hope. They are not your answer. They are not your Messiah. Boy, it's sure getting quiet in here today. Sure getting quiet in here. In verse 4, it says, and they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. Remember, the dragon is Satan. The beast is the Antichrist. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto this beast, this Antichrist? Who is able to make war with him? They say, this man is unbeatable. Let's follow him. Oh, he's going to lose. You know, kind of like the Buffalo Bills were favored to go all the way this year. Everyone just thinks, oh, they're going to win. No, they lost. Pastor, did you just liken the Buffalo Bills to the Antichrist? Yes. Anyone who follows them is deceived. There's hope in God, but don't put your hope in that football team in Buffalo. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. They worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they said, who is like unto him? Who can make war and defeat him? And there was given unto this Antichrist a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months, 3.5 years. So at the midway point, literally, this Antichrist becomes Satan incarnate. He gets shot in the head. He comes back to life, and all the world starts to worship him. But think about it, folks. We don't have to be afraid of any of this. First of all, we'll be gone. But just think, one day, Satan is going to have to move into a person to try to control this world. But we've got good news, because God has already moved into you and me. You're living in this world as God incarnate. God-filled, Spirit-filled. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Satan is just a poor impersonator. His plans always fail. His power is not endless. His power is limited. Glory to God. And it stops right where the name of Jesus Christ is proclaimed in boldness. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we see this all takes place. And now he continues on as this Satan incarnate man for 3.5 years, or the second half of the tribulation. For the first half, this Antichrist is just a governmental leader. The second half, he becomes the object of worship around the world. Now, how do you worship? Isn't it interesting that all of a sudden there's a false religion? All of a sudden the people of the tribulation period become extraordinarily spiritual minded. They start to worship this man. Here they had all this time to worship God, but they never did. They had no interest in spiritual things until, of course, they see a guy shot in the head and then come back to life. And then they want to worship this man. But there's already someone who was raised from the dead. And Jesus was not shot in the head. He was crucified. And Jesus waited 3 days and he came back. Glory to God. And so we see the people of the tribulation period, they all of a sudden they get very spiritually minded, but they're spiritually minded apart from God. Folks, I'm telling you, that is happening right now in a huge, huge way. Folks, what I'm going to say right now could upset somebody. Don't misunderstand me. Along with the bad, there's always good. Meaning, wherever God is working, the devil is working as well. You know, we've seen in this past year, we've seen it in sports. We've seen it in media. We've seen it with Hollywood stars. All of a sudden, there is this willingness to talk about God. All of a sudden, there's this willingness. But do you notice all of this talk about God, there is zero talk about Jesus Christ. God, apart from Christ, is no God at all. And I'm telling you, the stuff, when you hear these famous athletes get up there and talk about, oh yeah, you know, I just want to thank God and thank God. And then they go out and they get drunk and stoned and they go out and they live that life. And they're talking about God. I'm here to tell you, they're talking about God apart from Christ. They're talking about a world religious mentality. When you see a real athlete that knows God and they stand up and they say, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. I saw this one player, you know, for a famous sports team. He got up and he made it clear. He said, I don't want to be defined as a football player. I'm defined by the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God. You know, when you hear something like that, you know. But remember, in the Bible was even written to warn us about religion apart from Christ. when I see these athletes start to give glory to God and say, oh, I just want to thank God, and you know, they can do all the pointing up to heaven they want. But until they bow before Jesus Christ, I'm here to tell you, it is not God they are worshiping. This false religion is the spirit of Antichrist. Worshiping anything. God doesn't just say, hey, worship anything and it's just fine. You can say God all you want, but until you approach the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, you are not talking to him at all. Oh boy, this upsets people. Well, God was working in this, God was working in that. God is working wherever the name of Jesus Christ is proclaimed. Now, in some of these events, Jesus Christ was received and people did turn their hearts to Christ. Others just receive a generic belief in God. People are going to hell every day with a generic belief in God. A generic belief in God. The Bible says in Psalm 14:1 that a fool says in his heart, there is no God. You know, the Bible says that the demons know that there's one God, and yet they shudder. So just saying, having a generic belief in God is just one step above being a fool. Folks, it's not what we do in the name of God, it's what we know the Father is only approached. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. When I hear, you know, athletes or famous people get up there and talk about God, you know, I'm not impressed. I'm impressed when they give a testimony of Jesus. Notice, everyone that talks about God, even in Hollywood, they're not shunned. They're actually beloved. Get somebody up there to talk about Jesus Christ, and they will cut the feed of the television program. Remember Tim Tebow? He talked about Jesus Christ, and man alive, they could not get rid of him fast enough. He wasn't the greatest football player in the world, but he is a very, very solid Christian man, and boy, they wanted nothing to do with his testimony. But everyone else could just say, oh, God this, God that. Folks, just having a generic spirituality will never be enough. Yep, I said it. I said it, and I'll say it again. Verse 6, let's get ready to wrap this up. And now here we see this Antichrist, and he's a great orator, and he's speaking all these things, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. This Antichrist will mock those that say they believe in God. He will mock the idea that there's a temple in heaven. He will say there is no heaven. You know, there's some very famous songs that even have a very, you know, beautiful melody, things that people sing all the time. You know, John Lennon's song, Imagine If There's No Heaven. You read the lyrics of that song and it sounds pretty, but he's talking about, if you know, life would be better if we just got rid of the idea of heaven. See, that's what the Antichrist will do. There is so much God-hating material and lyrics that are written into these things. That's absolutely right. There is a heaven. There is a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There is a God that brought Israel out of Egypt and delivered them out of Pharaoh's grasp. There is a God that gave his son to die upon this earth so that we could be redeemed. Amen. And it's not a generic knowledge. It is a specific knowledge that there's only one way to God the Father, and that's Jesus Christ. And it was given unto this Antichrist to make war with the saints. And remember, there are 144,000 are still there. And to overcome them, and power was given to him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. And so now this Antichrist rules the world. You think about the vacuum of leadership that is in the political world right now. We've got weak leadership in the United States. We've got evil leadership in the United States. We have evil leadership controlling a massive nation of China. You have evil leadership in Russia. Think about this. And one day, there will be one evil Satan-incarnated man that will rule them all. In verse 8 says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. People whose names are not written in the book of life. Let me ask you this question. Is your name written in the book of life? Amen. Glory to God. Those whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now let's read this and finish it up. If any man has an ear, let him hear. Isn't that an interesting verse? Remember in chapters 2 and 3, when the church was on the earth, it was anyone that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And now it's just, if you have an ear, just hear it. Yeah. Why? Because the church and the Spirit are gone. You do not want to be on the earth during this time. I'm here to tell you, the age of grace is still open, folks. He that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints, meaning that those that will be saved in the tribulation will die a murderous death. They will have to fight for their life. And I beheld another beast. Oh, another beast. Who is this? We got to figure this out. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. And he exercises all the power or authority of the first beast, who's the Antichrist, before him. And he causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So all of a sudden, we now see another individual come to prominence in the second half of the tribulation. And this person will convince the world that they should worship the Antichrist. Who is this second beast? Well, the Bible calls him the false prophet. The false prophet. Who is this? This is a false religious leader who is deceived into believing that the Antichrist is God. Oh, wow. Oh, boy, Lord, I don't know if I can go in that direction. Folks, we have people all over Christianity right now. All over Christianity promoting people who are not put there by God. We have people of great names, big ministries, notoriety, written a million books, Christian radio programs, TV programs, all this stuff, and they're pointing towards people that God is not using. And I'm telling you, it is going around all the earth. We know in the future there will be a false religious leader who will convince the world to worship this Antichrist. And you're going to see that this false religious leader, he's going to be at the head of a worldwide false religion. And we don't have time to talk about it today, but that's why you got to come back next week. Because next week, we're going to real quickly get over into chapter 17, and we're going to look at the false religious system that the Bible talks about that will be on the earth. Folks, I'm here to tell you that false religious system is already on the earth. Folks, that is not me saying that Family Church is the only one who's right. Thank God that there's a lot of great denominations out there. There is wonderful people preaching the gospel. They've got a heart to get people saved. Thank God for them, all right? So this isn't about our institution. But there will and there is coming an institution on this earth, and it's already here in the days that we live in, that will be used in the end times to deceive people and to point people to worship things that are untrue. That spirit is already in the world. The body of Christ has overinvested into politicians. Folks, I said this before. I've gotten so many people mad at me for saying this. I've said it before. I use it now just as an illustration. I'm not a political man. I'm not a Republican, and I'm sure no Democrat. And you got to know and understand my job here. I don't preach politics. I hold politicians accountable. They've got a higher power that they are going to deal with, that they've got to mess with. They got to understand the church has more authority than they do on this earth. Politicians once understood that in this country. But, you know, we've got to know and understand, you know, what's, you know, happening in this country. I got to be very careful what I say. I feel like some things I'm about to share, I've got to hold it back to some degree. But we see this happening, this very thing where Christians are so easily deceived into putting all their hope into people that we should not put our hopes in. I'm going to use this as an illustration. It is not wrong. Please vote in the presidential elections. But I warned years ago when I saw the Christian church doing this with Donald Trump, when Christians, you know, are still acting like he is a Messiah. Folks, if you want to vote for somebody in the presidential election, vote for him. And I made it very clear that, you know, it's not about, you know, if somebody could do a good job in the White House or not. I know that I think somebody can do a better job than someone's doing right now if you want the truth about it. But anywho, it's not because I'm a Democrat or Republican. I'm neither. But I warned Christians years ago about being careful of putting your hopes on a politician and following a politician as if they are in front. They are not in front. Jesus Christ is in front. And then behind him is the church. And behind that is the government. They should be following you, right? And so be careful. And of course, we've got a whole host of names. And whoever the person is that you prefer, be careful. Do not think that they're a Messiah. Do not put your hope and trust into them. Maybe they'll do a good job. Maybe they won't. But listen, regardless of what happens in our nation, Jesus is always first in our personal life. Amen. Why am I saying this? Because the world will be deceived to follow somebody who leads a government, and they will call that governmental leader God. Folks, that's already happened on the earth before. Go back 2,000 years to the Caesars of Rome. They told everybody that they were God, and people were willing to believe it because they thought that their hopes rested in that man. Your hopes are not in Joe Biden, I can tell you that. They're not in Donald Trump either, I can tell you that. I believe somebody could do a good job as a president for sure. But most of our presidents throughout history, unfortunately, have been deceived. You know, a few of them haven't. All that to say is that this is where truth comes from. Don't fall into that spirit of the world where you're looking for a savior on this earth. That is the spirit that the devil will exploit in the future. And next week, we will get into that religious system that the Word of God talks about that's in the world now. Folks, I hope this series of messages, I hope that it motivates you. I hope that it fires you up. These things are serious. Our life is serious. We have but such a short time on this earth to demonstrate our faithfulness. Amen. Folks, get wound up for the things of God. Start shedding off some of those things in this life that don't matter. Get on fire for the things of God. And if you need help with that, Wednesday night at 7 p.m., I'm going to be here. We're going to get stirred up for the things of God. And we're going to, you know, get very, you know, serious about, you know, what we're living in and what we're facing in this world today. Did you get some help here today? Praise the Lord. That's my message, and I'm sticking to it. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, you are so good. Father, we just praise you and we glorify you. Lord, we now see how this stuff will unfold. Father, we start to connect the dots in our world today to what will come up in the near future. Father, first and foremost, we thank you that we are covered in the blood of Christ. Thank you that we are washed and cleansed. Thank you that we are represented on that mercy seat. Thank you, Father. You said that because we have kept the word of your patience, you will keep us from the hour of tribulation that shall test the whole earth. Lord, we know that you will and must judge a world that has rejected you. And Lord, we know that as of right this moment, the age of grace is still open. Salvation is free for those that will call upon Christ. Thank you for your goodness, your kindness, and your mercy. Father, I truly believe that we don't fully comprehend how good it is to be living under this grace. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. We believe your word. Father, we thank you. This Bible has predicted these things, and these things are all boiling up. They're coming to pass. And Father, we just bless you today. Father, we want to take as many people as we can to heaven. We want to stop thinking about ourselves, stop thinking about all of our stuff, start thinking of you, start thinking about others. Father, we need to get people into the house of God. We need to get them connected and living their best life on this earth for Jesus. Father, we love you and praise you today. You are so faithful and good. With all heads bowed, all eyes closed, before we dismiss, please ask yourself this question in your heart. Have I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life? Have I personally invited Jesus and taken him by faith as my Lord and Savior? If you're here today and you are uncertain about that answer, Let me just tell you this. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you will believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you've never made that decision, then now is the appointed time. Today is the day of salvation. Make Jesus your Lord and Savior. Invite him into your heart. With all eyes closed, all heads bowed, I'm not going to ask you to stand up today. I'm not going to bring you down front here today. But right there in your seat, if you say, Pastor, that's me. I know I need to be saved. I know I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. If that's you, I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. And when I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. And then I'll just lead everybody in that prayer. The whole congregation, everyone will be praying along. And right there in your seat, you can invite Jesus into your life. But if that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone here within the sound of my voice? I see that hand. You can put it down. I see that hand. You can put it down. God loves you. Is there anybody else that would say, Pastor, that's me. I want to make sure that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. We did have a couple of hands. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to lead all of us in this prayer. If you lifted your hand this morning, pray this prayer out of your mouth. Pray it out of your heart. Mean it with all sincerity. God will hear you. He will restore you. He will give you eternal life. He will receive your faith. Everyone just repeat after me. Let's pray this out loud. Don't just think these things in your head. Speak these words with us. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Isn't it good to see people coming to Christ? Let's go ahead, let's stand to our feet. Did you get some help here today? Folks, I tell you, if you are feeling like you could use a jump start in your life, that's what Wednesday night services are going to be about for several weeks. Come and get stirred up. I know there's going to be some sermons. I'm going to be teaching some things specifically. No, it will not be the same format as a Sunday morning. Yes, we will be led and we will just follow the leading of the Lord. But I know for a fact that I'm going to be speaking things about getting stirred up for the things of God. Amen. Let's go ahead and just give him all the praise and glory. Father God, we just praise you today. We glorify you today. Father, you are so faithful. You are so good. And Father, we just command your hand of blessing upon each one. And Lord God, we just give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, Amen. You are dismissed.